We will no longer be ashamed. We don't have to be ashamed. And the Supreme Court says today that we matter and we're valuable.
Today, as this sign says, being gay is not a crime.
Welcome to This Way Out, the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. A supreme victory over U.S. sodomy laws has activists rejoicing and the religious right reeling as the ruling's first fruits ripen. Complete coverage now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Cindy Friedman.
And I'm Christopher Gall.
With News Wrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending June 28, 2003. The U.S. Supreme Court this week issued what may be its most significant decision ever for gays and lesbians, as it ruled 6-3 to strike down Texas law criminalizing homosexual acts. Four justices joined Justice Anthony Kennedy's majority opinion, strongly endorsing fundamental privacy rights for gays and lesbians and reversing the High Court's own 1986 decision in Bowers v. Hardwick that it supported states' rights to regulate private sexual conduct. This week's ruling is understood to immediately invalidate state laws prohibiting oral and anal sex between consenting adults in private, not only in the four states where they apply exclusively to homosexual acts, but also in nine other states where they apply equally to heterosexual acts. Yet the impact is likely to be much broader, as sodomy laws have been a key argument against equal treatment of gays and lesbians in employment, family law, and other areas.
The case brought before the court by the Lambda Legal Defense and Education Fund was that of John Lawrence and Tyrone Garner, who were having sex in Lawrence's apartment in 1998 when police broke in, responding to a phony report of a crazed gunman on the premises. Both men were arrested on the misdemeanor charge of homosexual conduct, spent the night in jail, and were fined $200 after pleading no contest to the charge.
Kennedy wrote for the majority, "This case does not involve minors, persons who might be injured or coerced, those who might not easily refuse consent, or public conduct or prostitution. It does involve two adults who, with full and mutual consent, engaged in sexual practices common to a homosexual lifestyle. Petitioners' right to liberty under the Due Process Clause gives them the full right to engage in private conduct without government intervention." The majority remarkably brusquely dismissed the court's 1986 ruling, as Kennedy wrote that its continuance as precedent demeans the lives of homosexual persons, and declared that Bowers was not correct when it was decided, and it is not correct today. It ought not to remain binding precedent. Bowers versus Hardwick should be, and now is, overruled.
Justice Sandra Day O'Connor, who had been part of the Bowers majority, was not willing to go as far as Kennedy to reverse it. Yet in her separate concurring opinion this week, she declared that a law branding one class of persons as criminal solely based on the state's moral disapproval of that class and the conduct associated with that class runs contrary to the values of the Constitution and the Equal Protection Clause under any standard of review. She therefore declared the Texas law unconstitutional, although in Bowers she had supported the now defunct Georgia statute that applied equally to heterosexual acts. The other two justices remaining from the panel that decided Bowers kept their earlier positions, with Chief Justice William Rehnquist supporting the Texas law and Justice John Paul Stevens opposing it.
The Bible quote-laden text of the Bowers decision had sneeringly called it facetious at best to suggest that the Constitution protected homosexual acts. But Kennedy's opinion, joined by Justices Stevens, Stephen Breyer, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and David Souter, said, "To say that the issue in Bowers was simply the right to engage in certain sexual conduct demeans the claim the individual put forward, just as it would demean a married couple were it said that marriage is just about the right to have sexual intercourse. Although the laws involved in Bowers and here purport to do no more than prohibit a particular sexual act, their penalties and purposes have more far-reaching consequences, touching upon the most private human conduct, sexual behavior, and in the most private of places, the home. They seek to control a personal relationship that, whether or not entitled to formal recognition in the law, is within the liberty of persons to choose without being punished as criminals. The state cannot demean their existence or control their destiny by making their private sexual conduct a crime. For centuries, there have been powerful voices to condemn homosexual conduct as immoral, but this court's obligation is to define the liberty of all, not to mandate its own moral code. The opinion also referred to findings of the European Court of Human Rights and noted that other nations have taken action consistent with an affirmation of the protected right of homosexual adults to engage in intimate consensual conduct.
Even the typically silent conservative Justice Clarence Thomas added a brief statement to the dissenting opinion that labeled the Texas law uncommonly silly and declared that if he were a legislator, he'd vote to repeal it, although he does not view it as violating the Constitution. But Justice Antonin Scalia took the unusual step of reading aloud his main dissenting opinion, which harshly criticized his colleagues on the bench. He declared that the majority, and indeed the legal profession, has taken sides in the culture war and has signed on to the so-called homosexual agenda, by which I mean the agenda promoted by some homosexual activists directed at eliminating the moral opprobrium that has traditionally attached to homosexual conduct. He added, "Let me be clear that I have nothing against homosexuals or any other group promoting their agenda through normal democratic means." But he warned that the decision effectively decrees the end of all morals legislation, including state laws against bigamy, same-sex marriage, adult incest, prostitution, masturbation, adultery, fornication, bestiality, and obscenity, and would therefore create a massive disruption of the current social order. He said, "Today's opinion dismantles the structure of constitutional law that has permitted a distinction to be made between heterosexual and homosexual unions insofar as formal recognition in marriage is concerned, and so leaves on pretty shaky ground state laws limiting marriage to opposite-sex couples, thereby paving the way for a judicial imposition of homosexual marriage, as has recently occurred in Canada."
Scalia's leap from decriminalization to marriage rights could be seen as a call to arms on an issue with far less public support than other areas of gay and lesbian equality. But gay activist attorney Evan Wolfson, who argued the Boy Scouts case before the Supreme Court and now heads the Freedom to Marry group, told the Houston Chronicle, "I hate to agree with Justice Scalia, but when he's right, he's right." The Bush administration had not submitted a brief in the case, and the president's spokesperson refused to offer any comment on the decision.
In a related action demonstrating that the Lawrence ruling will reach beyond sodomy laws, the U.S. Supreme Court ordered the Kansas Court of Appeals to review an age of consent conviction, which Kansas punishes far more harshly for homosexual than heterosexual acts. Matthew Lyman had just turned 18 when he was caught performing oral sex on a 14-year-old male. Both were residents at a school for people with developmental disabilities. Had the younger teen been female, Lyman's jail sentence would have been only a year, but instead he was sentenced to 16 years in prison. The High Court vacated that sentence, of which Lyman has already served more time than he would have for a heterosexual offense. He's represented by the American Civil Liberties Union.
There's also an immediate result for a half-dozen men in St. Louis. Following a police sting at an adult store and theater last year, they were charged under Missouri's gay-only sodomy law. But this week, the prosecutor dropped those charges in the wake of the Lawrence ruling, although he'll continue to pursue other sexual misconduct charges against them. Missouri Attorney General Jay Nixon issued a statement that the High Court's ruling appears to call into question Missouri's sodomy law, which provides for punishment of up to 1 year in jail and a $1,000 fine.
Along with Texas, Kansas, Missouri, and Oklahoma are the states with sodomy laws on the books that apply exclusively to homosexual acts. The states with sodomy laws that apply equally to heterosexuals are Alabama, Florida, Idaho, Louisiana, Mississippi, North Carolina, South Carolina, Utah, and Virginia. Attorneys general of those states are reviewing the Lawrence decision, and few have yet to say much about it publicly.
Of particular interest was the response of Alabama Attorney General Bill Pryor, because he's been nominated for a federal appeals court seat despite an anti-gay record, and because he submitted a brief to the Supreme Court in support of Texas sodomy law. He called the high court's ruling a new interpretation of the Constitution, but he admitted that his state's hetero-inclusive sodomy law is now unenforceable.
But most prosecutions for homosexual acts actually occur under hetero-inclusive laws against sex in public places, laws which it's long been argued are disproportionately and even selectively enforced against gay men. Those prosecutions will go forward, as has been confirmed at least for Idaho, Texas, and Virginia.
And finally, Puerto Rico's gay-only sodomy law, which provides for up to 10 years imprisonment, is another victim of the Lawrence decision because Puerto Rico is a commonwealth of the U.S. The legislature has been in the process of overhauling the Puerto Rican Penal Code, with gays and lesbians and Puerto Rico's Justice Secretary lobbying for dropping the sodomy statute and religious conservatives lobbying for retaining it. Puerto Rico's Senate this week actually approved a version of the penal code that omitted consensual homosexual acts even before the U.S. High Court had issued its decision. But once that ruling was announced, the heads of the justice committees of both the House and Senate agreed publicly that it's now unnecessary for the House to debate the matter and that it will not be discussed in upcoming public hearings.
That's News Wrap for the week ending June 28, 2003, written by Cindy Friedman and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area. An informed community is a strong community. For This Way Out, I'm Cindy Friedman.
And I'm Christopher Gall.
The disorders began with a routine police raid on a homosexual bar, the Stonewall, on Christopher Street.
It's hard to believe in a land like this. The freedom we think we have does not exist. Don't ask me why the cops and the feds care in the least what we do in our beds. 'Cause only an asshole would care what goes into our assholes and who puts it there. And only a person who's really repressed would attempt to decide for the rest.
This is a giant leap forward to a day where we are no longer branded as criminals.
It took 33 years and 351 days after the Stonewall riots, but the U.S. Supreme Court finally decided that queer Americans are not outlaws in their own country because of who or how they love. The Lambda Legal Defense and Education Fund represented John Lawrence and Tyrone Garner, who challenged their 1998 arrest and conviction for violating the Texas sodomy law. Lambda Legal Director Ruth Harlow was lead attorney in the case.
What the court did was rule that we have a right under the Liberty Clause of the Due Process Clause. The actual language in the Constitution is liberty and not privacy, but what they are protecting is our right to privacy to make these choices in each one of our bedrooms. It makes a very strong statement, both that gay people are entitled to the same respect and protection under the Constitution as our other Americans. And it also does away with the idea that a state can defend discrimination by simply pointing to morality. And this is a ruling that is important to both straight and gay Americans because the right at issue is something that everyone cherishes, and that is the right to make their own decisions, whether they are gay or straight, about how they're going to express their sexuality, how they're going to express their love for another human being.
And what about a backlash by the religious right and others who oppose this ruling?
Well, I think they are more and more being pushed to the sidelines. The most recent numbers I've seen are 82% of Americans thought that this kind of law should be struck down. So what the court has done is catch up with America in that respect. And, you know, we don't have any problem with individuals making their own choices and having their own religious views, but in our country, a minority of individuals cannot dictate those views for the whole country.
There's been wide speculation that retirement could create imminent vacancies for President George W. Bush to fill on what many at least used to characterize as a conservative U.S. Supreme Court. Is there an even more conservative court in America's future?
Well, the most important thing about the fact that there may be vacancies on the court is just how important the court is and how powerful each justice is. And a decision like this underscores for everyone how much voters should pay attention to what their senators are doing, what the president is doing in screening judicial nominees, because all of our rights are at stake.
God bless America, my home sweet home.
I'm Brian Goble in San Francisco.
We are free today!
In the city's historic Castro District, the giant rainbow flag that normally flies so majestically over the city was replaced by the stars and stripes of the American flag as a symbolic thank you to the Supreme Court. In the sweltering heat, a crowd of a few hundred people gathered to celebrate at Castro and Market Streets in front of a sign that read, "Keep your laws off our bodies." Kate Kendall is the executive director of the National Center for Lesbian Rights.
We will no longer be ashamed. We don't have to be ashamed. And the Supreme Court says today that we matter and we're valuable. That is something we should celebrate. It will require extreme vigilance to assure that we protect this victory. But you're all here. You're going to make it continue to happen. Thank you for everything you've done to celebrate today. Thank you.
Jennifer Pizer with Lambda Legal, which brought the case before the Supreme Court, said it's time to celebrate, but not forget that many battles lie ahead.
We have to redouble our efforts because all of the work has brought us to this place. We have the right to love, but we face discrimination, we face violence, our families are unequal, our families are not protected. Justice Scalia's dissent today was a rallying cry for people who believe we should have no rights. It's going to take every one of us recommitting our efforts to make sure that our families get the protection that we deserve.
An activist from Amnesty International told the crowd that we should not forget our queer brothers and sisters outside of the U.S., in countries like Egypt, Saudi Arabia, India, and Malaysia, where gay sex is still illegal. Openly gay San Francisco supervisor Tom Amiano said we should also remember legendary activists like Harvey Milk, America's first openly gay elected official who was assassinated in San Francisco in 1978.
We don't go away. We'll never go away. Harvey Milk, I'm sorry you're not here, but we took your message. You gotta give them hope. We got hope. Thank you.
For This Way Out, I'm Brian Goble in San Francisco.
Pre-planned rallies and impromptu parties in other cities across the U.S. also celebrated the demise of the discriminatory sex laws. This Way Out correspondent David Taffet was with the sodomites and their supporters in Dallas, Texas.
Roger Waddell is president of the Dallas Gay and Lesbian Alliance. How did the law being on the books affect gays and lesbians here in Texas?
Well, in employment, for example, a question says, have you ever committed a crime? Not whether you've been convicted of a crime. If you're gay or lesbian and you have had sexual encounters with a person of the same gender, if you say no to get hired, they can fire you for lying. If you say yes, they cannot hire you. So it has been used as a bludgeon against gay men and lesbians for years.
Do you think there'll be any immediate effect?
Well, the immediate effect is to throw the law off the books. And a lot of people cease to be criminals.
Are there other laws in Texas that need to change now?
Well, yeah, we need to get rid of DOMA, the Texas DOMA, which precludes recognition of marriage of same-sex couples. We need to be sure that none of this crazy legislation that would ban adoption or foster parenting by same-sex couples doesn't ever get enacted. And this ruling helps fuel that battle. And I have to say, while I don't want to give them a whole lot of credence, there is an immediate effect for the opposition. They will be incredibly energized by this. Our journey isn't over. This is a significant landmark decision, but it's not over.
And this is Roger Waddell. He's president of the Dallas Gay and Lesbian Alliance.
Glory, glory, Peter Sprague of the Family Research Council.
Nothing has changed since 1986 to justify overturning the decision in Bowers v. Hardwick, except for the shifting winds of cultural fashion.
Robert Knight of the Culture and Family Institute.
You know, in this case, Anthony Kennedy, who wrote the opinion, gave lip service to 5,000 years of Judeo-Christian history, its presence in the law, its formative aspects. This is social engineering by a court. It will have very bad effects on the idea of our Republican form of government.
Reverend Rob Schenck of the National Clergy Council.
This is a lamentable outcome. The court has said today that morality, matters of right and wrong behavior, do not matter in the law.
Reverend Jerry Falwell.
Symbolically, America is a nation that for 200 years, and the culture of the world today for 2,000 years, since Christ's death, burial, resurrection, has respected the marriage system, the nuclear traditional family, the husband-wife relationship. And Judge Scalia said what most of us fear, that this is going to lead to the legalization of same-sex marriage, and I think that is an abomination.
This is J.D. Doyle in Houston, the community where it all began back in 1998 when John Lawrence and Tyrone Garner were arrested for sodomy in Lawrence's bedroom.
Sort of Gestapo, but that's all I have to say.
I feel like my civil rights was violated and I wasn't doing anything wrong.
They turned for help to attorney Mitchell Kateen, who spoke at a local press conference on the day of the ruling.
It has been my honor and pleasure to be the local attorney and cooperating attorney with Lambda Legal Defense on behalf of John Lawrence and Tyrone Garner. Today has not only is it a historic day, it's a day of celebration. Here in Texas, as a private attorney, unfortunately, the Bowers v. Hardwick decision is used not only against gay and lesbian people, but against all people, invading the privacy of all persons. And so today is a historic day for everyone who believes in the privacy of the home, the privacy of the family. And I am so pleased and proud that our Supreme Court has reaffirmed that right to privacy and are pleased that John Lawrence and Tyrone Garner, who were defendants, are now acquitted and that this crime that was on their record is no longer there.
At the press conference, defendant John Lawrence read a prepared statement on behalf of himself and Tyrone Garner.
I'm not a public speaker. We are very pleased with this ruling. We never chose to be public figures or to take on this fight. But we also never thought we could be arrested this way. We're glad not only that this ruling lets us get on with our lives, but that it opens the door for gay people all across the country to be treated equally. We're grateful to everyone who has respected our privacy over the last few years, even if the state of Texas did not respect it that night in 1998. And we thank everyone who saw how important this case was and fought for us. We share this victory with gay people in all 50 states who are better off today than they were yesterday thanks to this ruling.
Lee Taft is the South Central Regional Director for Lambda Legal. During the press conference question and answer session, he was asked what this ruling meant to him personally.
John and Tyrone, we were talking about it. They're heroes. I mean, it takes a lot of courage to withstand this type of litigation. For me personally, I've devoted 25 years of my activist life to getting rid of this statute. This is the most significant case to occur in the gay and lesbian civil rights movement. And there is something absolutely overwhelming and inspiring about it.
Later, at the rally held at City Hall, Mitchell Kateen introduced a variety of speakers and opened the celebration.
Today, the United States Supreme Court acquitted John Lawrence and Tyrone Garner of a law that criminalized gay and lesbian people. And today, as this sign says, being gay is not a crime.
One of the speakers was the father of Houston's gay rights movement, longtime activist Ray Hill, who has been involved in many fights to defeat the Texas sodomy statute 2106.
We've been looking for that direct criminal appeal on a 2106 arrest for a long, long time. And it was difficult to find because there have only been 5 prosecutions in Harris County of 2106. Now you said, well, if they're not prosecuting, why get rid of it? Because every time you went to apply for a job, somebody thought You're a criminal when you go home and you can't have the job. And every time that you wanted to be a police officer, they said, no, this lesbian violates Texas law when she goes home at night and she can't be a police officer. So we went through that on adoptions. We went through that with custody. We went through that in probate court, and we went through that employment. So 2106 was enforced every day, but not as a criminal statute. I'm an old man. I'm 62 years old. But you know, if I get lucky this afternoon, it will be the first time in my life I have been intimate without violating a law in the state of Texas.
That was longtime gay activist Ray Hill. And for This Way Out in Houston, I'm J.D. Doyle.
This is Rex Walkner in San Diego. I've decided to make a trip to Texas to celebrate the U.S. Supreme Court decision striking down the bans on gay sex that still existed in 13 states. My Texas buddy Brett Giovannone has a long history of sodomizing me, and it's only right that we do it at least once more, this time without committing a crime. Brett notes, by the way, that he's a hunky, single, and available Texas cowboy. You can also celebrate in Kansas, Missouri, and Oklahoma, which, like Texas, banned sodomy only for gay people, and in Alabama, Florida, Idaho, Louisiana, Mississippi, North Carolina, South Carolina, Utah, and Virginia, which banned sodomy for everybody. I am proud to say that prior to the ruling, I had managed to commit sodomy, that's oral or anal sex, in Alabama, Florida, Kansas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Missouri, North Carolina, Texas, Utah, and Virginia. I committed the greatest amount of banned sodomy in Missouri, where I had a serious boyfriend for a couple of years in the early 90s, like daily sodomy. Florida, of course, is sodomy central. I've done it in Ocala, Orlando, Daytona Beach, Tampa, Fort Lauderdale, Miami, Miami Beach, and Key West. In Louisiana, I was sodomized repeatedly over a seven-day period in a military barracks. My most recent illegal sodomy was in North Carolina in May, and it was delicious. My naughtiest banned sodomy has been, of course, in Utah, where the Mormon men feel horrible guilt while sodomizing you. In Texas, I engaged in silent sodomy with a woofy deaf boy. So we're legal in all 50 states now. We can get married in Ontario and maybe very soon in Massachusetts as well. Being an outcast, an outsider, a banned minority, that was certainly fun in its own way, and I will, in some sense, miss it. But the raging river of gay progress is approaching the point where it empties into the ocean, and we become just one more ordinary segment of the American melting pot. That's what we wanted, right? For This Way Out, I'm Rex Walkner.
Only an asshole would care.
Thanks for choosing This Way Out, the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine. This week, Cindy Friedman, Christopher Gall, Fenceberry, Graham Underhill, Brian Goble, David Taffet, J.D. Doyle, and Rex Walkner contributed program material. Thanks also to Jeff Staples at RadioLeft.com. Kate Smith and Romanofsky and Phillips performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. For audio cassette copies of this program, get ready to write down our email and postal addresses. Remember, you can also listen to This Way Out anytime online, exclusively on Planet Out. There's a link at our website, thiswayout.org. Some This Way Out operating expenses are funded by a grant from the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation and through direct charitable donations from our listeners. Thank you. To find out how you can help keep This Way Out on the air and get some queer audio history and timeless music in the bargain, please visit our website at thiswayout.org, email us at tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at Post Office Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. And thanks to AlternaBid and the Stonewall Society, you can bid on some terrific items in an online auction to benefit This Way Out. Look for our logo at AlternaBid.com. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening on WDIY Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, Plains FM, Christchurch, New Zealand, KRCC, Colorado Springs, Colorado, and more than 135 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Pray do stay tuned.